Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. And this is a whole new season for us. You know, we come back after Labor Day, and of course, we have some very good guests. We have to start off with a bang here on the first day of our first season here, and we're excited to have Miss Joan Hunter here, and we have Miss Charity Bradshaw. How are y'all two doing?
Good.
Doing great.
We're excited because there's a lot of things happening, and you're going to India.
I'm going to India and next month. That's hard to believe. And then Israel. From India, I'll be going into Israel.
And that's Miss Joan Hunter talking, and I tell you what, it's amazing to see people moving. There's such a need right now to push the healings and miracles and just motivate and build people. And that's why I have it here, y'all two in the studio, because that's your goal.
Is our goal. So it's to educate, train, equip, and with knowledge and education, and number one, that they can, no matter who they are, no matter who they were, but that they can go out there and be used of God in a mighty way. And then in every area, not just in the area of healing.
Amen. Tell us to everybody just a little bit about yourself, John.
Well, a little bit, huh? I've been in ministry for over 45 years and traveled the world with my parents, Charles and Frances Hunter, and have my own ministry as of like 12, I guess about 15 years ago now. And it's just been blessed, and I have 14 books out at this moment, and I am finishing up on 3 more books right now. So it's very, very exciting with what God is doing, and primarily I have a healing ministry, but mainly equipping people and training them, teaching them how to lay hands on the sick and pray, but pray specifically and get results. Mm. And that's what's exciting.
Yeah, I know. I've interviewed you a couple of times, and it's always like at the last minute we run into each other and say, hey, can I get you in there, or can I move your time up? I think I've seen, when I think it was St. Louis, you were in the hallway just sitting down because you just came out of, you're trying to take a breath. And I was like, hey, Joan, I know you have you at 2, but can I drag you in right now? You're like, sure.
That's
always
right.
You're always in season.
That's right. Always in season.
You're always ready to go, and that's the main thing that we have to be. We have to be as faith people, ready to go.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of things in your life that may be going on. There's things in your life that you may be waiting for, but the kingdom of God can't wait for you to get ready. You got to do it now. You got to be out there preaching.
Get out of the boat.
Yep, get out of the boat. Mm-hmm. And Charity, would you share about yourself as well?
Absolutely. I am Joan's oldest daughter, and I recently have transitioned from my career in Nashville. We moved to Houston at the beginning of this year to basically agree with God on the calling that he had on my life to basically expand my impact and share the message that I have, which is basically training people on how to make the most of their time, talent, and treasure.
Mm. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, you have a new book out, don't you?
I have 2 books out, actually.
Okay, cool.
My first book is called Me, Myself, and Why, and it's basically helping us identify what makes us unique. I think a lot of people see other ministries and other speakers, and they want to be like them, when really God designed them as original and unique as their fingerprint. Mm. And so the book basically helps them identify their unique factors and helps them embrace them, and so they can that way they're mastering and they're basically stewarding their own voice and their own impact.
Mm, that's amazing. Yeah. Your second book?
Second book is called She Leads. And I think basically what brought me to that point, I have 3 daughters. I have 3 sisters. I've got a bunch of nieces and cousins. And I just thought there's not enough information collected in one place about what some amazing women have done, not just biblical women and not just historical women, but some women that are alive right now, what they've done, ordinary turned extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us think that there has to be some special set of circumstances to make us great or make us a leader, when really these women started out just like we did with the same 24 hours a day. They just chose to become, to stay, to persevere through their difficulties and to overcome them and then to make a difference.
Mm. That's amazing. And what's lately you at ministry? Where have you been going and what you've been doing?
Well, I've been hanging out with my mom a lot.
Well, that's always a good thing. Yeah. Iron sharpening iron.
Absolutely. So. And thankfully, she has been just so willing to help me launch and help me gain exposure and have people become more aware of what I'm doing. My third book, which actually comes out in a couple of weeks, is called Money Wise. And this is something I'm very excited about because, David, as you and I both know, dreams require resources. Goals require resources.
Absolutely.
And there are a ton of people right now who have no idea how to manage their money. They don't have any idea how to get ahead or how to even take care of the damage that's already been done. And so I've put together a very simple plan called Money Wise, and the book is going to be fabulous. It's out September 23rd, and it's just a simple, smart plan on how to manage your money and fuel your dreams.
Amen. We're going to go more into each of those books in just a minute. And Ms. Joan Hunter, tell us about your books that you have.
Oh, I have lots and lots and lots, and I'm excited about it. I have books that teach you how to get healed in your body, mind, soul, spirit, and finances. And each one targets a different area. And I have a manual that you can go through. All the books have prayers in them. Not just here's a teaching, this is what you need to do, as in comparison just leaving it there, this is what you need to do, say this prayer with me. And I've typed it all out to make it really easy, number one, for your own healing, but also to minister healing to others. And the mission statement of Joan Hunter Ministries is to equip believers to take the healing power of God beyond the four walls of the church to the four corners of the earth. Well, does that mean India? Does it mean Israel? Does it mean Haiti? What does it really mean? Well, bottom line is you got to start at home. You know that you need to be equipped to, you know, pray for your children, your home, your family members, your neighbors, where you work and where you shop. And once you have proven yourself faithful in those areas, then say faithful in the little, you'll become rule over much. Then you get to go to India, then you get to go to Paris, then you get to go to England, you know, and different places like that. And it equips it. Number one, it heals the person individually of, you know, whatever, you know, inside and out. And then as you walk it out, you say the prayers, and people are getting healed. It's just amazing. Mm. One of my books is Healing the Whole Man Handbook, and it has hundreds of diseases, what they are very simply termed, and then how to pray. And I have that in multiple languages. And the one in, I just was with a guy in Germany in June, and he says, I bought this book a year and a half ago. Everybody that I pray for through this book gets healed. 100%. And I thought the anointing is really, really on the book, which is great. And that's the kind of books that I write, is not only are they getting healed, but everybody that they pray for gets healed too. And then I have another one on the healing of finances. I'm so excited with Charity's book coming out called Money Wise. And the primary book I felt led to talk about today was Supernatural Provision. Okay. You know, and it was just like, you know, we talked, it's only $10,000 a night for your crusade in India. It's only, you know, $10,000 for me to go to India, airfare, etc.
Yes.
It's only, you know, and so you have to kind of think about it, that you think, well, $10,000, I could buy a car with $10,000, you know. But then the terminology that you use, it's only $10,000. Now, I know that $10,000 is a lot of money. But when you realize touching 30,000 people for $10,000, that's not much. Mm-mm. But it's going to take people, in particular Christians, that are really, really doing well financially. And right now, literally this month, last week God gave me a word that September was going to be a month of answers. And I put that on my Facebook. I have like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of responses and needs. I'm like, people are really searching because they need answers. Mm-hmm. And number one. Number two, I would go to India with you if I had the money. Mm-hmm. I would go to Israel if I had the money. And one of Charity's taglines is on her book is to fuel your dreams. Fuel the call of God on your
life.
Absolutely. You know, fund what God's called you to do. And, you know, and it takes finances. there are some people that are saying this is a month of destruction, that all of our money is going to be worthless. And there are other people that are saying that this is going to be the most incredible financial month you have ever seen in your entire life, you know.
So far, I see both of those.
I know. And you can go, you know, and yeah. sell everything, yep. you know, and or move to another country. Or you can go, according to the Word of God, it says that my God's going to supply all of my needs according to His riches, not what's going on in the world. And as I take delight in Him, meaning not worry about where I'm going to get the finances, if we take delight in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. He will meet our every need, no matter what is going on in the world. And if people were to grab a hold of that, it doesn't matter really what's going on in the world. You need to be aware of it. But, you know, this month has proven to be extremely good with the ministry, extremely good with me personally. And, you know, and I'm like, every time I turn around, the blessings of God are running and overtaking me. Praise God. Okay?
Amen.
And the thing is what's so awesome is that every time I turn around, God is blessing. He's blessing. He's blessing. He's blessing. And, you know, and I don't expect that to change at the end of this month. You know, is the world going to come to an end at the end of this month? Well, according to the Word of God, Jesus doesn't know that. He doesn't know when
Absolutely.
He's coming back.
Absolutely.
You know, and when God says, okay, go get them, that's it, you know. And we can live in fear, you know, which just happened a couple years ago, that people killed their cows because they didn't want their cows starving, you know, and then all this kind of stuff. And then they wake up the next day and go, we're still alive and we're still here and we got dead cows everywhere.
Yeah, then a certain of them just max out their credit cards and pay for their houses and didn't pay for
their
cars. And
I mean, it was crazy.
They had a prophecy that this could happen a certain time. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wake up and smell the roses that have soured, you know. But there's such, I mean, if you ask like a congregation of, say, 100, how many of you have a physical need of to be healed, okay? You'll probably get 30 to 40. How many of you have an emotional need? Probably 60. How many of you have a financial need? 99 to 100. And so this is why, I mean, I have a very strong commission from the Lord to teach people how to get out of debt.
Amen.
And I teach primarily how God wants to get you out of debt supernaturally, whereas charity teaches, and I mean, we're talking about a puzzle that is so fitting together, it's awesome. And she's offering a class in October in the Tomball area to walk you out of debt and to give you the tools. And this MoneyWise book that's coming out is based on years of experience of teaching it at her church. And then not only teaching at her church, but having results of people there literally getting out of debt when there was no way for them to get out of debt.
Mm.
And I'm so excited because, like, you know, if God blesses you, say, with $1 million, would you know what to do with it? Okay, mm-hmm. Number one, get out of debt.
Yep.
You know, number one, tithe, I should say. Number two, get out of debt. And if at that point, you know, the word says if you're faithful in little, you'll become rule over much. But if you are not faithful in the little, you won't have any money to be rule over.
Oh, absolutely.
And charity has incredible insight. So I'm going to let her talk about her new book, which is like so incredible. I'm so excited about it.
One of the things that if you think about it, if you look at the story of the parable of the talents, the master gives 1 5 and then one, was it 3 or 2? I can't remember now if it's 3 or 2. And then he gives the last one 1.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the one with 5, he goes and gets a huge return on his investment. Then what happens? The master gives him more.
Yes.
He didn't have to work for that more.
Absolutely.
Because at that point, the master realized this is a
that's
good
very strong.
Investment.
That's very strong right
and
there.
And that is when you that's combine good. Natural wisdom, natural discipline, and those things, and show God you are a good and worthy investment. You will take care. You will steward what He's entrusted you with. Then that blessing that came from for no other reason, no work, it just came and landed on you. That blessing comes as a supernatural provision because He has seen, I can trust you. Mm. I can rely upon you. If I can get it to you, I will get it through you to my people.
Mm. That's amazing. Tell us a little bit more about your book.
Well, I basically, what got me started on the topic of money is, you know, my husband and I had, you know, I didn't have any debt when we got married, but my husband did. And God said, help him get out of debt. I had no idea how to get started. But we went to the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace university in Nashville there and learned. And then my church saw that I was so passionate about the topic that one year they just said, hey, would you want to teach a class on this? And the financial peace classes lasted 13 weeks, and we had about six to cover it. And so I basically was like, well, we got to figure out a way to condense all this down into six power-packed weeks. And after about 8 years of teaching it, I had a pretty good style down and a routine down, and I kind of just boiled it down to, this is what you need today. This is what you need to get out of debt today. We don't focus so much on, okay, what happens when you have piles of money sitting around? This is how you need to put food on your table. This is how you need to save. This is how you need to think about leaving a legacy and not a burden to your family. And so basically I just talk about, you know, it's simple. It's managing small decisions.
All right.
If I had to boil down the book into one sentence, it's managing those small decisions, David, because you know that they add up over time. You know, if you have a leak, you know, a $5 to $10 leak a day going to something, you know, that's not headed towards your goals, that is money that should be funded to fuel your dreams.
That's true.
So you're deciding in these small decisions to either head towards your dream or away from your dream, towards your goal or away from your goal, towards India, away from India. And then we can't sit there and say, well, God, why don't you bless me? Hmm. When really it's like, manage those small daily decisions. And that could be for anything.
Yeah.
Anything we want to get towards, you know, whatever decisions we make, it's either toward that goal or away from that goal. It could be our health. It could be our relationships. It could be money, whatever it is. We with each decision, we step towards that or further away from it.
I like how you say that. You know, I have a lot of family that I see growing and then some of them not growing. And I tell you, it doesn't matter where you live. You know, King David said, oh, if I had wings. And it doesn't matter if you had wings, he could fly away. The same problem is going to be there unless you fix it. Unless you
wherever
deal with
you are, there you're at.
Yep, you have to deal with yourself. And once you start changing that, things are going to happen and stuff. We're going to go to a short break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. We'll be back with our wonderful guests. Thank you for listening on MidWatch.
Virus make you fat? A new study suggests that being overweight might not be all your fault after all. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Think twice before blaming yourself or someone else for being overweight. A new study suggests a common childhood virus could be the culprit. Researchers found that children exposed to adenovirus 36, an infection that causes short-term gastrointestinal and respiratory symptoms, weighed an average of 52 pounds more than children who were never infected. Researchers believe this fat virus increases the body's fat cells and makes it harder for the body to break down mature fat cells later. The result is that people affected by the virus store more fat overall. So go easy on the next overweight person you see. Diet and exercise may not work as well for them as they do for you. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Is your teenager easily bored? Do activities that used to bring him pleasure no longer delight him? Does your teen often appear to be lethargic or even depressed? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a tip from Shepherd's Hill Farm. There's a good chance your teen is experiencing a condition known as anhedonia. Anhedonia is not ADD, ADHD, or depression, although the symptoms are very often mistaken as such. Anhedonia is a destruction of the pleasure center in the brain, which often comes as a result of today's unbridled multitasking on any number of electronic gadgets and other entertainment vehicles. Unfortunately, medication instead of moderation is being given to our kids as a quick fix for the symptoms. The good news is that the pleasure center can rebuild itself, but you as a parent are going to have to be proactive.
Learn more about this topic at shfteens.org. Shepherd's Hill Farm is here to serve hurting families with teens in crisis. If you have a teenager with behavioral issues, we can help. Contact us at shfteens.org.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
A second look at sports often takes a look into the hook and bullet sports world and the humor that goes with it. A Sunday school teacher asked Johnny, do you believe Noah did a lot of fishing when he was on the ark? No way, Jose, he said. You only had two worms. You know fishing, man. are much alike. They both get in trouble when they open their mouth. Yet it was the Lord who said to all of us, "Be ye fishers of men, because everyone is going to have to live someplace forever." And remember, many of Christ's disciples were fishermen. Something to think about, okay, as we go about this day. Now, for more fish stories, go to asecondlookatsports.org. This is Dwight Allman, your Sports Chaplain of the Year, for a 60-second look at sports.
Listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Understanding the times we live in and knowing what to do. Here's Trace Embry.
Is the term Christian rock a contradiction in terms? Have we parents ever stopped to understand exactly what the word rock and Christian really mean when put together? Isn't it like saying giant midgets or dry water? There's soft rock, light rock, just plain old rock, hard rock, acid rock, and even death metal rock. And they all have a Christian counterpart. The lyrics are the only distinguishing difference, and that only when they can be understood. Just the fact that we use the terms hard or harder should sound an alarm. It's no secret that the harder the rock, the more bizarre the atmosphere it produces. How hard or how punk or how death does Christian rock have to be before parents connect the dots that it isn't only the terms that are contradictory to a biblical worldview, but it is too often the outcome and behavior it produces also.
To hear more helpful insight for today's culture from Trace Embry, visit LicenseToParent.org. That's LicenseToParent.org.
I hear many youth experts talking about the importance of giving our teenagers more freedoms to spread their wings and discover their place in the world. What I don't hear much of are the contingencies that ought to be in place before these freedoms are allowed to be enjoyed. Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a heads up from Shepherd's Hill Farm. Why would I carte blanche give my teenagers certain liberties simply because...
Welcome back, and we have Miss Joan and Charity here. Hey, we're just talking about just different things, trying to figure out schedules. Whenever we get ministers together, we're all like, okay, well, what are y'all doing? Okay. Well, you know, it's about helping connect. I'm a big person. I'm a person of trying to get people with, to other people, and that's what we do these broadcasts for. I mean, y'all can hear me anytime. So I like having the guests talk as much as they can when they're in studio and stuff. But this is what we do it for, to promote each other and to get them out there and let the people that I know about y'all. So
awesome.
We're talking about MoneyWise before we went out, and you want to keep going on that just for a few more minutes?
Okay, sure. Cool. Well, the cool thing about the book is that it's coming out just in time for the MoneyWise live sessions that I'm offering this October. It's going to be 5 Tuesday nights starting October 6th at 7 p.m. at the Four Corners
Conference Center.
Four Corners Conference Center in Tomball. And there's going to be childcare included. You're going to get a packet with registration. But this is a great way to come and be able to sit. It's a little bit interactive. There's no personal information shared, but you get to just basically kind of learn with other people who are also trying to learn. Because I think one thing that the enemy tries to do is make you feel like your situation, you're the only one.
Oh, absolutely.
He tries to say, well, yours is worse. You're the only one that's in this boat, and nobody else has it as bad as you. But the minute you get into a setting where other people are in that same having those same feelings of either embarrassment or shame or just fear. I mean, when you're in a situation where you're upside down financially, it can be scary. And so when you come to these MoneyWise live sessions, you really can see that, number one, you're not alone. In fact, you're in the majority if you're having a financial crisis in our country right now. You are not alone. So when you come, you can obviously see that you're not alone. You can have that camaraderie of being with people that are on that same journey toward financial wholeness and being able to be a useful tool. I think about the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, had he not had any resources of time, talent, or treasure, he would not have been able to be a useful helper for that man that was on the ground. But because he had stewarded his money and stewarded his time, he was actually able to be used by God to bring healing to another person. And that's one of the main reasons why I offer these classes. One of the main reasons why I talk about this is because if we are to be truly useful, we must have money in the bank.
Absolutely.
We can't just have time. We can't just have brains, you know, and talent, but we also have to have those resources to become useful. I think it's very important to realize that the value we assign to being used by God must be the same value we assign to being disciplined financially. And so that's why I offer the classes. So that's starting October 6th. It's going to be 5 Tuesday nights in a row through the first Tuesday of November at the Four Corners Conference Center in Tomball. And to get more information about that, you can go to either charitybradshaw.com or you can go to joanhunter.org to register for those classes. And it doesn't matter if you're local or not. They will be streaming, so you can sign up, do your registration, get the packet, or you can come live and have that live experience. But I look forward to just walking shoulder to shoulder with you on your journey to financial healing.
Oh, absolutely. So what are some of the things that they should expect when they come there, as far as how are you going to approach some of those subjects? And, you know, not everybody likes to talk about finances.
Absolutely. In the book, the first heading is money is a touchy subject. And I understand that. I'm aware of that. But one thing I think that we are all ready for is the truth. We are ready to hear what we need to hear. If you're coming to this class, you don't need somebody with a bunch of padded answers. You need somebody who's going to tell you like it is, but with love. I mean, I don't come at anybody with this information with any other agenda other than to love, because my purpose, as all of our purposes is to be a kingdom builder.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are all on the same team, and I see it as the more I can equip you to actually run your course, to do your part, to be your useful part of the body, basically we're all working together. And so if I help you in that way, then we're all becoming stronger. So we will talk about where you're at. I call it the financial reality check. Where are we starting? We have to weigh in. We have to get on the scale, see how bad it is, so that we can measure progress. So we weigh in. We see where we're at. I talk about different ways of cutting your monthly expenses, because one of the biggest things we have the most power over is our income. So if we can actually control where our income goes and manage where our income goes by disciplining ourselves, then we become more the manager of our money, because money will go where it's managed. So it's just a matter of who has the better plan and the stronger discipline.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many habits that we get, so many things that happen to us.
Yeah, it was really kind of neat, because a few years ago when she first started teaching the Money Wise class, she says, now you have to kind of go, if you go back with me like 15, 16 years, I had to start my life over at 47 years old, basically with nothing. With my tithe and my house payment, it was $60 in arrear a month, not to mention three girls in college, two car payments, utilities, and insurance and gasoline and food, etc. And yet my God supplied every need. I'd have food show up and everything. It was I mean, you remember, we'd just walk in and all of a sudden there's like 50 bags of groceries everywhere.
That's
that
amazing.
Wouldn't fit in the fridge, wouldn't fit in the pantry, and then we had an extra refrigerator in the garage, wouldn't fit in there. And there was 50 bags still left that hadn't been put away. It even had toilet paper, shampoo, and soap. It had everything in it.
My friend Gerald Davis would say that God did say that he will bless you with more than you have room for.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And I love Gerald. I think he's awesome. He's amazing, actually. And so, you know, starting my life over, you know, I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
The girls started getting grants and scholarships given to them. I mean, it was just absolutely miraculous what God did. People would send checks in the mail and, you know, think, well, your parents were Charles or Francis. Didn't they help you? And it's like, I picked up the phone one day because I was so completely desperate. And God says, are you going to trust them or are you going to trust me? It's time you grew up. And I put the phone down. And at that point, then later my book, Healing the Heart, came out, which talks about my overcoming betrayal and everything in my own life, how I walked out, my emotional healing, my physical healing, financial healing, and so forth and so on, how I walked that whole process out. And then at that point, that's when my parents realized how much financial problems I was having. They're going, why didn't you ask us? I said, because God told me to trust him and not y'all. And it was amazing. And so she's been teaching this course for years. And so several years ago, she goes, Mom, why don't you pay your van off? And I'm like, why? I mean, it's only like $250 a month. Why should I pay it off? You know, because $250 a month, you don't feel it, whereas $3,000 you would feel.
Yeah.
Because I only have like $3,000, maybe $4,000. And I'm like, you know, it's like, why don't I pay my car off? Because I have it to do it. And it was such a feeling of accomplishment that I had actually, for the first time in my life, because I started over with no credit rating, no money, no credit rating, nothing. And I'm like, okay, now here, I'm like, not egotistical, but I paid my car off.
Yeah, there's a...
I was broke.
Attaboy, yeah.
And I paid a really nice van off, and I don't have a car payment anymore. It was kind of a freaky feeling, but wonderful.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, now $250 a month, I'm putting in savings for my next car. You know,
saving
not
all
just
the interest, and
you know, and so the next car I bought with cash.
Wow.
And then God tells me to give the car away about a year and a half ago. And I'm like, you know what? But I had saved up for the next car. Hmm. And so I was able to buy the next car. And, you know, and it's a 2008 Toyota Stellara convertible. It's a very fun little car. But what's neat is, you know, if, and it, like what she said earlier about the talents, if you're faithful in the little, you'll become rule over much. Well, I worked for a car dealership in Dallas. I left in 01 after 10 years mm-hmm. of serving them, starting marketing and everything, all that kind of stuff there. I still, you know, 15, 14 years later, I still buy my cars at employee discount.
Wow.
And that's number one, when you leave in favor,
yes.
It's also the blessings of God. That includes me, it includes my children, it includes the ministry, you know, and I mean, it's just amazing. But that thought never entered my mind to pay off my van. I'm like, why?
Oh, amen.
You know,
amen.
And we have, I think there's 11 cars. How many, let's see, with all of our family. I think there's like 11 cars.
We can't keep track anymore.
Yes, it's, hey, yeah,
man.
I think it's 11
between
cars.
All the sisters and husbands.
Yes, sisters and husbands. I think there's 11 adults and have 11 nice running cars. They're not necessarily brand new, but they're nice, and 10 of them are paid off.
Wow.
And I haven't paid them off. So, you know, is it helping them?
Yeah,
I did mine, of course. But the thing is all of my children have taken this into their own life and have got their cars paid off. They've gotten this paid off. They've got everything. And, I mean, I couldn't be more proud of all of my girls
absolutely.
For doing that. And, you know, outside of their homes, you know, two of them owe on homes, and that's it. And one of them just sold her home and won't even have that debt in about a week. And so that's the only debt that we have, is we owe a little bit, you know, a little bit more on our home here. And, you know, and the thing is, God, he's wanting to bless you. And it's like the house that we lost 15, 16 years ago, the house that I have now, what I paid for it, what it appraised for, is the retail value of the house that I lost 15 years ago.
You're speaking to someone out there.
I am speaking, hopefully, to a lot of people out there. That whatever you have lost, whether it be a car, whether it be a house, we sold it. We didn't, like, lose it to creditors, you know, but we sold it and ended up and got out of debt and started over with basically nothing, but that meant no home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and how God, I mean, because I live in an incredible home, but I paid pennies on the dollar. You know, it's actually, in the appraisal didn't include the land, did not include the lake view.
Wow.
So I bought it for one-third of what it's actually valued at.
Yeah, absolutely.
But see, this is what God wants. Whoops, sorry about that.
That's okay.
God wants to bless us, number one. Number two, he wants to restore what the enemy has stolen. If you've lost a home, if you've lost a car, this, I believe, September and starting this month in a greater way, that we are going to have so many things restored
Amen.
To us that we never thought was possible. And, you know, and that house, we've been there over 2 years, is a direct result of standing firm and believing God to restore what the enemy has stolen.
Amen.
And the thing is that I want to encourage people is, you know, when you're talking to people, they say, pray that I get out of debt. Well, if you get out of debt, are you going to get right back into
oh,
debt?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I see okay. that happen a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's the bad part. You know, like somebody helps you get out of debt, and then all of a sudden, in a year, you've got the same amount of debt, if not
yep.
more.
Doesn't the word say wealth unearned leads to misery?
Right.
Yeah.
So something like that. So it's true. Mm-hmm. If someone helps you out and you hadn't learned the principles like that you're going to teach, that it doesn't help.
Right.
You get
feed
even
a
worse.
She can eat for one meal.
How many of the lotto winners are in depression, suicide?
Oh yeah, file bankruptcy in 3 years.
Yeah, and then one of the guys, I think he made this huge, huge game system that they sold online. He made like $1 billion. Completely depressed, doesn't know what to do. Oh, he goes, all my friends go to work. I don't have nothing. I can't. No one runs to party
success
like
success is lonely
yeah.
if you don't bring anybody with you.
Yep,
That's what I always say.
And if you and those funds aren't fueling what they're supposed to do, is the power of God, the move of God, if they're not fueling that in some way, it's you're not going to have peace in your heart, even with all the funds that you get. I don't know how many actors, how many soccer players that I've seen that are depressed.
Yeah, football players and baseball players.
Yeah, they're just depressed. One NFL, the chaplain from the Indianapolis Colts was on the show, and he said that he has football players that don't want to go home because when they get home, it's all this. Where we're going to spend your money, how we're going to do it. They rather stay at the practice field and sleep there than go back home. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, and it's like people that win the lottery, you know, they have people that come from out of the woodwork.
Yep.
You know, and what's interesting is that I had people that I knew 15, 20 years ago that literally came out of the woodwork when I got my website. Because and I had a book.
All of a sudden you're rich, right?
All of a sudden, you know, I'm rich and famous. And
wish
I'm
that
like,
was true, right?
Hi. You know, it's like, hi, how are you?
I had to pay for that.
I'm doing great. It's really great talking to you. I need $3,000.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we hadn't even talked for 5 minutes. And this is the truth, okay?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, okay. And then the next call, and I'm like, oh, this is so exciting. They left me a message, calling back. Okay. You know, this is great. I need 5,000. I need 1,000.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
I don't have that kind of money, you know? And I was, like, shocked. And you know, and it's the same thing, you know, with that. People that everybody wants your money. Everybody wants to be your friend now that you're rich and famous.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, no, if you weren't my friend this whole time, why should you become my friend now?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And another thing that's really that when I pray for people, like, you know, get me out of debt, is, you know, number one, if you're $10,000 or more in debt, what's on your card? What'd you buy?
Yeah.
The average answer is, well, you know, stuff.
Sorry.
Well, what kind of stuff? Well, just stuff.
That's funny.
You know, and most people don't even know, and maybe restaurants and things like that, but, you know, if you ate at home, you wouldn't have that debt. Mm. But the thing is, most people have no idea what they bought to cause them to be in debt.
You know, that's true, because I was in the mortgage industry for like 12 years, mm-hmm. doing loans and stuff, and I get their credit report, look at it and stuff. No, we're not disclosing anything, people. But anyway, I would go over there, I look at that, and they're like, well, the reason you don't have money to put down is because you eat at Kentucky Fried Chicken, Subway, you're at Bennigan's.
That's the leap.
That's
the leap.
Yeah, you're over here at Chick-fil-A, and you know, that's all wonderful, but what if you cooked? What if you did something at home and use the groceries and stuff? Mm-hmm. If you can control this a little.
Yeah. I have an awesome story. It's sad, but it's an awesome story. I met this guy. I know this guy. And he divulged some information to me the other day. And he loved to go get coffee down the street. Okay? And so he would go. He would send his secretary to get him coffee down the street. And just black. You know, so instead of $5, it's like $3 a cup of coffee. So he in turn would come back, you know, and then she would give him the coffee. Oh, this is great. Go get me another cup in a couple of hours. Go get me another cup. Well, she does the accounting for the firm, and she says, I just want you to be aware, and this is talking to her boss, how much you are spending on coffee. It was $567 that month.
Oh, wow.
In coffee.
Oh, my gosh.
And he has the money to spend on coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's not the problem. But when he realized that, so he went and bought him a little, you know, machine, Keurig machine, and he has a cup of coffee for 45 cents, and nobody has to go out in their car, go do mileage, do all that kind of stuff to go get him a cup of coffee. It's 45 cents. Even the same brand is 45 cents a cup of coffee as a comparison to at least $3 to $5 a cup.
And that's the thing with money is you may have the money to spend $567 a month on coffee.
Just coffee.
You may have it. But is that making the most of it?
Absolutely.
What is the opportunity cost that you've missed out on because you've appropriated $567 to coffee? when you could bring that cost way down and do it in-house, save the mileage, save her salary, save her tallying up to tell you $567. And that's how a lot of us think. Well, I'm not going into debt. I'm able to pay it every month. But is that the wisest use? Are you making the most of that money? That's also part of the class, is just to kind of challenge you to think, even if you can pay for it, is it really smart? Is it putting you in that direction that you want to go? Or is it even just slowing you down? Those are things to think about.
That's amazing.
And by the way, with the money that he did not put into that coffee, he has actually bought a coffee plantation in, I think, Ecuador.
Wow.
And that's legacy.
Yes.
That's legacy.
Uh-huh. Isn't that cool?
He'll get coffee forever.
Yes.
Versus coffee
and so
today.
Will I.
Yeah.
As soon as it's ready, I get some, which is awesome.
You gotta love Joan.
That's the truth. He's already promised it to me.
Joan is like one of the most frank person that I know. She's fun though. She's fun. But I tell you that is true. You got to find where the leak is, and you got to plug it up. And I'm sure that's what tell them again when the class is. Tell them again the dates.
Sure. The MoneyWise live sessions are 5 Tuesdays, starting October 6th. Through, I think it's like the first Tuesday in November. I think it's like November 2nd, somewhere in that area. But it's 5 Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. You can go to joanhunter.org, and you'll go to store, and you'll click special events, and that is where you'll find the MoneyWise class tab there, where you can register. That way you'll get your materials, you'll have your space reserved for the class. And you can also go to charitybradshaw.com. That's charity, charitybradshaw.com. You can also sign up to get my blogs and my email updates for when the book does come out, things like that. Special offers. I'd love to hear from you and have you join in the discussion with me. But those are going to be great. There's childcare provided, or it's also offered live streaming. So you can be anywhere. You can be
absolutely
in a different country or in a different state and be able to be a part of that class.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the thing is, if you're not happy where you're at today and you want things different, then I really suggest you need to take that class.
Absolutely.
And it's not, you know, day after day after day. It's just Tuesdays. You just give up a Tuesday. Go out there, take the class. You can give up a Tuesday.
And it's an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. I think that you can get a lot done in an hour if you cut to the chase.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's kind of how I respect time. I mean, time is really, if you boil it down, our currency.
Oh, absolutely.
We trade our time for money. We trade our time for experiences. So I'm a respecter of time. We're going to get in there. We're going to get it done. And you're going to get to go home.
Let me give you a testimony. Gerald Davis, one of my very good friends. He's like a father to me. 5 years ago, I started hanging out with them, helped them with his books, get them from where they were to more into in line into the bookstores and stuff like that. And it just started with a conversation. He's like, sure, let's start meeting. I spent a lot of lunches with them. I spent a lot of time just visiting him and getting everything running and stuff. And do you know that I started – he has a very strong anointing on finances, a very gift that God's given him, a very supernatural –
I can totally vouch for that.
Amen.
I can totally vouch for that.
And he was seeing me growing and growing as I hanged out with them. I seen my life growing and growing as I hanged out with them. And in 5 years, I'm further than I was 5 years ago. But that's because I started changing things in my life. I had to, of course, read his books because I was publishing his books. And and it just changed my life. And then we had a lunch one time. And it was when I was trying to decide if I should be working full-time in ministry or stay with the job I was at. And he's like, it seems to me that God will pay you for 40 hours if you believe. And I was like, yeah, because he was seeing it grow, and my ministry was growing too much where I couldn't handle having to do the secular job. And so I went ahead and just started doing that, and within months things start changing, finances start coming in and in a bigger way. And in that time, you know, when I had a full-time working job, I had 2 car payments. And when I went into the ministry, the parent payments were there, but you know what, I paid off 2 cars with just faith in ministry versus with job and sweating. Yeah. You know, he said, because you can either sow and reap or you can sweat and work on the way.
Amen.
And I was like,
that sounds like Gerald.
And I was like, amen. And it worked out. And I tell you, it took me taking my finances seriously and sitting with someone that was anointed in it, that had a gifting in it, that understood it. And that's what I want to tell those that are listening. You need to come and sit with Charity, a gifting of anointing, a gifting of finances. And they, be able to impart. You know, it's really, I think, 5 short weeks. I mean, yeah, that's short to get everything you need.
Most
to change.
Most people want more classes.
Oh, yeah. And
they're like, is this over already?
And you know what? And
we might have to think about an advanced class.
Oh, yeah.
2.0.
Yeah. And so
money-wise, 2.0.
You have to figure out how to change your life, and the only way is through the Word of God.
Yep.
And to find someone that teaches the Word like Charity is going to be an awesome thing. So I really, really encourage you. I want you to share the story of how you shared it on television, but I want you to share the story about how you got the land and how the landowner that was the land for your building.
Right. Yeah, it's really, really awesome. And the building that we're on, the land that we're on plus building that we're in, 18,000 square feet, 14 acres of land. It was just a tremendous blessing on what God did. And we paid for the land, the building for, I forget exactly how much it was, just under $1 million. And got the building, 18,000 square feet. There was an additional 11 acres in the back. And they just incorporated the whole entire thing, and at the same price. It was just a tremendous blessing. So we're hoping everything's paid for. It's just a miracle how that happened.
Amen.
You know, all the land, all the building, everything in there, all the television equipment, everything to provide the live streaming of Charity and the different events that we have. And we've got, starting on the 23rd of September, we have ordination/healing school. And you can watch free online. You can also attend. If you want to attend the healing school, you can do that. If you want to get ordained, there's a little bit more information where that's concerned. And you can email the ministry at info@joanhunter.org, or you can call the office at 281-789-7500 and get more information about that and attendance. And then, you know, throughout the year, like we just had Katie Souza, she'll be back next year. We've got Kathy Walters coming in December, which is healing humor for the holidays. So
yeah,
she's
that
evidently
sounds good, right?
A real character and hysterical. And I'm looking forward to the 3 services that she's doing. We will have childcare at those services also. Not in the evening, I think, at ordination, we will have childcare and the 4 nights. And then in the beginning of the year, we've got Kat Kerr, Matt Sorger, and Doug Addison and me. And then in February, we've got Marilyn Hickey coming back.
Oh, wow. Yay.
So we've got we have these, you know, and everything is online, streaming free. So,
okay.
And to attend is free. Like Ordination Healing School, you can pay a little money and have lunch with us, things like that. So.
Yeah, yeah. Now, didn't the landowner know your parents?
The landowners knew my parents, yes, and was just real excited to be able to pass on the blessing of everything to us.
Tell you what, that's legacy right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
it
legacy
is.
From your mom and,
yep.
and dad.
And it's like, you know, in the time of their death, my brother got X amount, I got X amount, and but what was neat is that I'm still walking in my inheritance.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm probably here because of my parents,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, literally in the studio,
yeah.
you know, and then she's here because of my parents
yeah.
and, you know, just different things like that and doors that God has opened to me, you know, with Whitaker House as a publisher,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who published my parents' books for years, you know, that was an open door. All of that's because of my inheritance.
Absolutely.
You know, and the thing is, I want to share something else in regards to supernatural provision / money wise class. somebody felt led 15, 16 years ago to give me $500. And I tithed off of that. And then at that point, a lot of that money, over 250 of it, I went and actually bought groceries, okay, that we needed, okay? And that was great. So I was faithful with what they had given me.
Yes.
If I had gone to the store, say, other than the grocery store, and they saw me buying movies and stuff like that and a ton of candy, would they be willing to give me another $500?
Probably not.
Probably not. And... you know, and so, I mean, this couple is actually still partners with the ministry today, several hundred dollars a month. as a result of 16 years ago, I went and I bought groceries with that money and not just threw it away.
Didn't waste it.
And didn't waste it. And what's so, then the correlation of that is God just, I mean, literally blessed me this week. And if I went out and spent it on junk, that blessing would not be there the next time.
Wow.
And we must be faithful with what we have, meaning that the tithe check goes first, then the offering check comes. And then if I need, like the check I got, praise God, it'll do my 401k for the year. So it's like every time I turn around, it's like I'm getting blessed, you know. And then what's so neat is that the place where I'm investing my money for my 401k, that every bit of money I put in, they will immediately match it with 7%. I have never heard of a 401k that
does
that.
That's good.
I call it my retirement account because I'm not planning on retiring.
I wanted to talk about something that is similar, but whenever we were getting ready to have our second child, her name's Kate. She's my little glamour girl. She's very fun. God put something on my husband's heart. Our church was collecting a special offering called the Vision Offering. And this was kind of over and above your tithe, and there was no pressure, but it was whatever you felt led to give to do further than the daily ministry bills that came in. This was to take us to the next level for just better website stuff, better internet things like that, some more facility needs that were being met. And so here I am, hugely pregnant. I'm due in like a couple of months, and my husband says, I feel like God's telling me to give a week of my paid time off to basically cash out a week of paid time off to give for the offering.
Wow.
Well, I at that time knew I was going to have a C-section, and I was like, you're telling me that God is asking you to give up a week of time with me so that you can give it. I was like, that is not the thing to tell a very pregnant woman. I started crying. I was like, I was kind of sad. But at the same time, I love my husband's generous heart. I love his giving heart. And I knew that he had heard from the Lord. And despite the fact that I physically felt pain from hearing that, I knew it was the right thing to do. It was sacrificial, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And we did it. I also gave a week. God told me to give a week of what I earned. And so that was how we were advancing for that vision offering. So fast forward to the week that my daughter was born. My dad's mother at the time was 91, and she was begging to go be with Jesus. She was like, I'm done here. God, take me home. And, this may sound strange, but she died 4 days before my daughter was born. And oddly enough, we got a week of bereavement through my husband's company. So basically, he got a week paid time off because of my grandmother's, for us, timely death. We knew she was going to go. It was her time. Now, that may sound like, okay, that's a one-to-one ratio. Let's fast forward two more children for my fourth child being born. My husband was in nursing school. I was working really hard putting him through school. And the company that he worked for, which I've never heard of companies doing this, he had 12 weeks. Everybody say 12.
12.
12 weeks of paid paternity leave off whenever I had my fourth child. Now, I'm telling you, David, there was no other way I could have made it through what I had to do because I was still the breadwinner while he was in school.
Yeah.
But that 12 weeks made it right until the end of his semester. So he didn't have to work through the end of his semester. He just had to go to school
come home.
Yeah. Not go to school and work and then come home to help take care of me and the baby. I mean, God just multiplied that very, very sacrificial seed at the time, and he put it in the ground, and it came out at just the right time. I mean, who has heard of a man getting 12 weeks of paid paternity in America?
I'm like, man, I would do. We had four. I need to.
Let me validate it even more by saying he was a part-time employee.
Oh, wow.
He was not even a full-time employee.
That's God's favor.
And that was a benefit that they extended to their part-time employees at the time. And I just tell you, when God says in his word that he will multiply it back, he's not kidding. He's not kidding, but we have to show that we trust him. We have to show. That's what the tithe. This is the thing. Don't get confused. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is returning. We are agreeing with God saying, I agree. You're the boss. Okay? It's when we give over and above that those are the ones that are able to actually go into the ground and become huge harvests, because we are not only saying, I believe your Lord because I return your tithe to you because you do own everything. You have given me everything. But then I give in faith. I sow deeper seeds. I sow bigger seeds. I sow more valuable, close, tender to the heart seeds, believing and trusting that you'll return it to me. And that could be even sowing seeds of your time. Because there's definitely been times in my life where time was way more valuable than money. I'd rather give $100 than 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because especially when my husband was in school, time together was very valuable. And there were times when God said, take your whole family, go to the church and pack food bags for the school kids that are, our church organized these food bags for the kids that were food insecure. And so we would go and take a normal night that we'd sit at home and be a family. We'd get all the kids together. We'd go and we'd pack these food bags. And I'm telling you, there was a blessing on that time, such a teaching moment for us with our children that they are blessed, because there's not ever a time when they have to worry about them having enough food. They are blessed that is their life. And there are children out there who don't necessarily get food at night and don't necessarily get food on the weekends or during the summers or over holidays, that they have to wonder and be scared about being hungry. And that's never their life. And so just taking those moments to sow your time, your talent, your treasure. I mean, look at you, David. You have a gift for all of this radio and television, and you are sowing not only to the lives of your listeners, but you're sowing to the lives of the people that are coming here. And so you're giving of your talent, which is why there's a huge blessing on you, because you are such a generous host and worker for the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Right now, I want you to pray for those that you feel led. Then we're going to have Ms. Joan pray. Then we're going to close
out. Well, the first thing I want to pray for is the spirit of fear. If you're in a situation where your finances are upside down and you don't know exactly what's going to make it, there's been all kinds of crazy thoughts going through your head of things that you would not normally think about. Well, you know, just, you know, there's number one, there's no reason to do anything, you know, to harm yourself or to, you know, take the easy way out at this point. First off, we're going to cast out the spirit of fear. I thank you, God, that you are our Father. You are our Heavenly Father. And you desire for us to get wisdom more than a big salary. And so I pray that you will help these people come to know you first of all, come to know your provision, and then come to be well acquainted with the wisdom that you provided for us in the Bible and through resources here. God, I ask that you help them connect with people and with resources to help them get out of their situation and to get above the debt and to be able to be a useful tool for you. The second thing I pray for is those leaders who are dormant, who have disqualified themselves because of something in their past or in their present. God, I thank you that you are the restorer. You are the way maker. And I ask that you return confidence to those who have thrown it away. And the third thing is, anybody out there who is not sure of what their purpose is, God, I thank you that you give dreams, that you give visions, that you give insight and clarity to those people who are wondering what their purpose is in this life beyond just their 8-to-5 job or beyond just being a parent, that you give them a dream that inspires them to become a better steward of their time, their talent, and their treasure. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Charity, for being on the broadcast. Give them your website one more time.
My website is charitybradshaw.com. That's CHARITY, charitybradshaw.com. I look forward to seeing you there.
And the dates on your conference?
Absolutely. The MoneyWise Live classes start October 6th. It's going to be 5 Tuesday nights starting at 7 p.m. And you can go to joanhunter.org to register, or to charitybradshaw.com to register for that class.
Amen. And Ms. Joan Hunter, would you close us in prayer?
Yes. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we send the word of healing to every single person that is listening. Father, right now, I feel, as Charity did, that there's just a spirit of fear in the hearts and fear of the future, fear of lack. And Father, we just come against that spirit of fear in Jesus' name, in agreement. And Father, right now, I thank you for opening up the door of hope like they've never thought about, they've never experienced in the area of finances, but in healing in their body, their mind, their soul, and their spirit, and hallelujah, finances. I want to encourage you, if you need prayer, feel free to call my office. They're standing by at 281-789-7500. Again, 281-789-7500. Every one of you has individual needs, and we have individuals that will pray with you whatever you need an agreement for. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless David for all that he's doing here.
I love y'all. Give me your website one more time, darlings.
JoanHunter.org. JoanHunter.org.
Amen. And thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless y'all. And I want to thank my guests, Charity and Joan, for being in the studio. I don't get many friends here because we always do it online. So this is good to have actual people to see. We'll catch you next time. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.
Yes, ma'am.
And you got several kids?
Uh-huh.
Okay, how many kids?
I have four.
Hey, that's a good number. I have
four. We're in
four.
A good club. We all have four.
Yep. And so it's like I have four, and, my oldest is 18, thinks he knows everything.
Yes.
a couple of years ago, we had a little bout with him on some things, and it's like he got really depressed, and I had to really go to just fight for him, and then my wife took him to the hospital for something, and they noticed that we didn't even give him authority to, like, go counsel him or anything. And they went over there, and all of a sudden I have CPS knocking on my door, wanting to check on my kids. It was like an attack from the enemy. And the doctor wanted to put him in a home to get medicine for a couple of weeks to see if it helps. I go, you got to put my son on that. And because I would not let them give him medicine, I said, look, I'm just finding out where the issues are. We're solving it. I'm getting him Christian counseling, and that's what I believe, and that's what we're going to stick with. And if that doesn't help, then I'll be back, and we'll see some other ways. And they would not release him at the hospital. And finally, I said, you know what? What are you going to do, arrest me? I went over there, and I got the paperwork, and they go, if you take him, we're going to send CPS to your house. I go, you know what? I do not bend for threats. I do not bend for fear. I go, I have a God that says I will not kneel down to you. So this lady was looking at me like I was crazy. I go, here's his release paper. Get me the release paper so I can sign him. I need someone over there to get him his phone back and everything else that y'all took. And I go, and I'm taking him out of this hospital. And then they just looked so quiet. And I was right there in the middle of the emergency room. I go, look, if I was a Muslim and told y'all I didn't want medicine, y'all would give me a parade. But because I'm a man of faith and a Christian man that believes in God's healing, y'all want to write me up, y'all want to take me to court, so fine. God knows my address, you know my address. I walked out and got him out. A few days later, we're at CPS, and they come in as the accuser and everything.
Oh, we've had that once.
And it was just a surprise. And, you know, Jerry had one of the references, everything else. They were like, they come in, and you're suddenly a perpetrator. And they're surprised, visited the schools, pulled the kids in, talked to them at the schools, and all of them got the same report. All of them got the same thing, that things are good at home. And the lady, the CPS lady, she's like, well, what are you going to do? I've already got him in Christian counseling. So he's starting his sessions, and it helped him. But it was a fight. I had to fight with the court. And finally, they sent me a letter saying, you have done nothing wrong. This was a mistake. We apologize. And they removed all this other stuff they had on there. And I said, you know what? I just wrote it back. You can run and respond to this letter. But, yeah, I give all glory to God.
And they showed up at the door demanding that we wake our children up.
Really?
And strip them.
My goodness.
Yeah, because they're not traumatized.
Oh, my goodness. It was the best.
That was like...
And then
somebody was mad because we didn't let her come back and work in the nursery at the church.
Yeah.
And so she reported us to CPS. You know, and they came out, and I mean, I was so angry and upset that anybody would think that I would ever do anything to harm my kids.
It hits you. It hits you right in your gut.
I
was like, okay, I just have to pray.
It's a feeling of rape, even though it's not a sexual thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, Jesus, help.
My son had a friend in Nashville that we had three-way greenbelt around our house, tons of trees and stuff like that, and my husband was going to clear out a bunch of bamboo, and he said, how about you and Bajan come help me clear out the bamboo? And he was like, we'll do it if you'll turn some bamboo into spears for us. And my husband's like, sure. You know, so he whittled down a couple of the things, turned into spears, and then they're like, well, what can we hunt? And my husband thought, birds, you know, they can get away, is what he was thinking. And we did not think